He is the source of national debate. If Aaron Finch is going to open for Australia on Thursday week, should he open for Victoria tomorrow? Get himself a dry run at it, especially if his partner is going to be Marcus Harris. Hotly debated this morning.
Has been undervalued, and I'm glad it's sort of getting back on the radar, but if it's an untenable situation here. I mean, Aaron Finch must open the batting tomorrow. Not at 3, not at 5, he must open.
It just should happen. He's a different player now. And even if he's not, if he's opening for Australia next week, which he will, he should open for Victoria. End of story, I'm afraid.
I just think for Aaron, who hasn't had any red ball cricket since those Pakistan tests, get him up there opening, get him into the routine of walking out with his opening partner, maybe facing the first ball. And that'll hopefully get some runs and get some good confidence going into that first test.
Damien Fleming, Robert Craddock, Stephen Quartermain. Ever get the feeling everyone's talking about you? He is Australia's short form captain and he is the test opening batsman. Aaron Finch, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Very good. Is there any chance you'll open for Victoria tomorrow?
Well, last time I spoke to the coach, it wasn't going to happen. So I know that, like you just said, there's been a lot of debate around it, but at the end of the day, I think it's about what's best for Victoria. And personally, it doesn't bother me where I bat for Victoria. As long as I get some time in the middle, I think that's the most important thing.
Is there any part of you that would like the dry run at it, though?
Oh, having done it for such a long time in the shorter forms, I don't think it makes too much of a difference. I haven't batted with Marcus Harris a huge amount of times, but so that'd be nice. But I think at the end of the day, like I said, if you're batting at 3 or 4, time in the middle is going to be the most important thing leading into that first test.
When's the last time you faced a red ball in the nets, Aaron?
Last time I faced a red ball would have been when it cannoned into my front pad in Abu Dhabi in the second test match. I haven't faced one since then, but at the end of the day, the principles are still the same, and it's all about the basics and making sure you get into good habits and good routines. And I feel like I've been doing that in the nets against the white balls. Just hasn't translated into enough runs in the last couple of weeks.
So you've obviously had a fairly intense month, but is there any part of it that sits in the back of your mind, Aaron, and goes, I'm going to be opening for Australia pretty shortly. I wouldn't mind just a little bit of time with a red ball.
Oh, not really. I think the most important thing is trying to win games for Australia. And the last couple of T20 games, obviously the washout in Melbourne was not ideal, so I think that would have been a cracking game. But having a full Shield game preparation, so today I'll get to Brisbane shortly and hit a few red balls and then the 4 days and be able to have a lot of time to work on my game and hit a lot of red balls during that period, I think will be nice as well. And then there's 4 days, a day off once we land in Adelaide, and then 4 days of preparation for the first test. I don't think that's too far away from the mark. I think any more than that would probably be asking for a little bit of trouble. I think just batting too much in the net.
So are you a bit of a believer that you can overdose on these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like I said the other day in the press, my ideal preparation is generally having one really, really long hit before a series and then just topping up as you go through the series. I think that recently I've probably been overdoing it a little bit and training and hitting too many balls. I think once you get into a series, it's important just to make sure that you're as fresh as you can be and just topping up where needed be and making sure that you're as clear-minded as you can be.
You gave a terrific insight between the T20s and the one-dayers and then with the overriding reflection of the change that you'd made in technique around Test cricket. We were talking about this with Robert Craddock. Can you get caught between techniques in cricket?
Oh, I don't think you can get caught between techniques. I think that the fundamentals are still the same, but I think in T20, in the past, when I've been playing at my absolute best, I've probably give yourself a touch of room to swing the arms and collapse that back leg slightly just to be able to give you a bit of elevation in that, especially in that first 6 overs. But I think at the end of the day, it's about making sure you're moving into the ball, making sure that your head's getting over the ball as well as it can be. So that's all I've been working on, really.
Do you work with somebody on that, Aaron, or are you at a stage where you're comfortable sorting these things out for yourself?
Oh, I've definitely been working with Graham Hick, who's been... He works a lot with all the boys, with Justin Langer, obviously, to just sort of fine-tune a couple of things there. But, I mean, when you're in between teams and so you're playing different competitions and stuff around the world, you tend to get into a space where you're a little bit more self-sufficient and making sure that you know your own game as well as you can. Because if you go in between three or four different teams around the world, you're not going to have the same batting coach all the time. So I think it's important to get the same patterns with yourself and make sure that you're as clear-minded with your own game as you can be.
So if you were running the rule over yourself at the moment, how would you say you're batting?
Not too bad. It's probably not as bad as what the scores have reflected in the last couple of games, or the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. I think that when you're hitting the ball well in the nets and you feel like you're getting into good positions and it's just not hitting the middle of the bat at the moment, I think that's still really positive.
Are you excited by the prospect of opening the batting on home soil in a test match?
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be exciting. I think playing against India, who have been in good form all around the world, is great. But I think to do that in a home test series is going to be fantastic. I think when you look down at their side, they've got some real... Well, they've got a lot of world-class players with the bat, but with the ball, I think that their side has transformed over the last probably 5 or 6 years to have a really well-rounded attack as well. So it'll be a great series. It'll be a great challenge, and I know all the boys can't wait.
So you played cricket for a lot of years in a lot of places, Aaron. Was this the dream? Was this the dream to open the batting at the start of an Australian summer?
Not necessarily open the batting. I think it was just to play test cricket. That was my absolute dream growing up as a kid. It's one thing to play test cricket. It's another thing to get there and perform really well and through that position really proud. That's my goal, is to make sure that when I get my first opportunity or my next opportunity, it's about being as well prepared and trying to win games for Australia.
Do you get nervy at all?
More excitement, I think, than Jared. I think when I listened to an interview the other day with Mark Howard and Bruce McAvaney, and he talked about nerves. He said there's two types of nerves. There's one when you're excited, and that's a really good place to be in, because you're excited for the challenge and you're excited about doing your best under pressure. And the other one is when you haven't prepared well enough. They're the other nerves. And there's definitely none of them. I think it's about making sure that everything is in as good a place as it can be. And I feel at the moment, while the runs haven't been there, the preparation's been great.
It's such a specialised thing to open the batting, Aaron, and as has been pointed out, you haven't done a lot of it in red ball cricket in recent times. What will the specific challenge be? And obviously you did it in Asia, where the conditions are a little bit different. What's the specific challenge of being ready to open the batting here?
Oh, I think it's about making sure that your technique is as sharp as it can be, and that you're watching the ball 100%. I think that facing the red ball up front or the white ball, the principles are still the same. They're still trying to hit you on the pad or nick you off to the keeper in the slips. So it's about making sure that you're 100% focused on each ball. And while the intent or the outcome might change slightly from format to format, I think that if you're getting yourself in a good position time after time, you're giving yourself the best chance.
You've been leading Australia for the last, whatever it is, 5 weeks now with the one days and the T20s. How would you sum it up? Was it 3 1 days, 1 win, 2 losses, 4 T20s, a win, a no result, and 2 losses? What's your overall feeling of Australia's white ball form?
Yeah, I think that we're moving in the right direction, no doubt. I think that when you look at them results as a whole, that you say it's been a disappointing start, which it has been, to not win a series, no doubt, but I think we are tracking in the right direction. There's probably just been a couple of opportunities that we've missed with the bat to go on and push forward with a really big partnership and make sure that we turn a good partnership into a great match-winning partnership. And with the ball, there's been a few opportunities The opposition just got on top of us, and we probably just let a few chances slip there.
Has it been not starting the summer with Test cricket, given sort of how much is loaded there? Has it been a slightly awkward time at all?
No, I wouldn't say awkward at all. I think that that's the way the schedule's been traditionally. But I think it was good for the players to be able to come from the JLT Cup, what the one-day format, into some T20s in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and then into a one-day series against South Africa. I think that in the past we've played the one-day comp up front, and then there's been no one-day cricket until January. So I think that gave the players the best opportunity to be prepared as well as they could be. So, yeah, a different-looking summer, but at the end of the day, it's still cricket, which is great.
Did you find a level of comfort? Do you think everybody sort of reached a more comfortable place from where things were, I guess, out the back of the review and all the tumult in Australian cricket, and then suddenly you're on the field?
Yeah, I think it was good for everyone to actually just get out on the field and play some cricket. There was a lot of noise going on in the media and whatnot with all the review and the things that have happened behind the scenes. So it was just good for the players to be able to get out in the middle and play some cricket and do what we love doing.
So you've got two huge tournaments which loom. Obviously, the World Cup is the middle of next year in the one-dayers, and then I think they've renamed it the T20 World Cup at the start of the next year. How intense will the work be to be ready to compete and to defend one of those titles when they come along?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that having a preparation of one-dayers in India and then the UAE over that February March period, and then some really really good leading games against New Zealand in May, and then heading off to the World Cup. I think it's probably going to be the ideal preparation for us to be able to have the one day group together for such a long time, planning and preparing and getting our structures right leading into that first game of the World Cup. So I think that'll be obviously exciting defending a World Cup, but even more so doing it in England on the old enemy's home soil.
One of the images of yesterday, Aaron, was Dave Warner back in the nets and facing the Australian quicks, and looks like sort of that reintegration. What's your feeling around having him back in your team?
Oh, it's exciting. It was great to see Davey yesterday training around an Australian setup. I know it wasn't with the full squad there or anything like that, but it was just great to see him back. It's been a really tough period, no doubt, for himself, Steve, and Cameron. So I think that's a small step towards him coming back and playing cricket for Australia again.
Do you feel like with opening for Australia in a Test match, Aaron, are they looking for the same, what this is, bash and barge was the way Crash described it. Do you think they're looking for the same dynamic out of you that Warner's been able to provide for the Test team?
Oh, I don't think so in terms of like strike rates. Davey has been a great player for Australia over such a long period of time in all formats of the game. So hopefully I can come in and do that spot some justice. But I think at the end of the day, it's about having a combination that starts well together, and whether you're a traditional type opener in Test cricket or whether you're one of the modern day type players where you're looking to get on with it a little bit more, I don't think that really comes into consideration a hell of a lot.
If it is to be Marcus Harris that you get to open with, how have you seen his development at state level over the past 2.5 seasons?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I know he's a ripping guy, someone who's worked really hard on his game and been able to turn some starts into some really big head-turning scores. And I think that's a really pleasing thing for him, that he come over from WA. And no doubt that's a really tough decision when you decide to pack up your life and move across the other side of the country. But the way that he goes about his business, he's attacking, takes the game on. He's a very free-flowing batsman once he gets in. I think that it's an exciting time for him, and I think a lot of the credit goes to Victoria, the way that he's been allowed to play. And I think it's just a great story. Someone who's been prepared to make sacrifices to live out his dream.
It's a bit of a sense of pride that there are five Victorians in a 14-man test squad.
Doesn't happen very often, does it?
No.
No, yeah, it's great. It's great recognition, I think, for Victoria over the years to be so dominant in the Shield game, in particular over the last decade, I suppose, is really nice.
What do you think lies in store for this summer of Test cricket, which is so eagerly anticipated? There is a great sense of uncertainty around it. What's your sense of what you'll walk into?
Yeah, like you said, it's exciting to have Test cricket back on. Six Test matches for the summer, four against arguably arguably the best team in the world at the moment. It's just going to be a great contest, and we've seen how well they played in England. Although they didn't get the result there, they played really well away from home, which has probably been a criticism of them in the past. So no doubt it's going to be an absolute humdinger of a series.
All right, so your preparation on in earnest from tomorrow at the Gabba. So just best case scenario, what would you love out of the next 4 days?
I'd love a couple of hundreds.
Yes.
That'd be absolutely nice. But I think it's about getting time in the middle, getting a win for Victoria. The boys have started off the Shield season in unbelievable fashion. So to come into that side is going to be great. And I suppose just get some really, really good batting time would be ideal. But if that doesn't happen, I'm still very well prepared leading into that first test.
The very best of luck with it, Aaron. Thanks for your time this morning. We'll all be watching tomorrow, and then particularly we'll see you in Adelaide for Thursday week.
Cheers. Thanks, Jared.